The following It's Your Money program has been pre-recorded.
Good morning and welcome to It's Your Money. I am David R. Thierman, tax, estate, and nursing home attorney with law offices on Route 9 in Summers Point, New Jersey, and part of the It's Your Money Hour.
And I am Jean Isley. The other part of the It's Your Money Hour, I'm used to the title and all that, and I still have to make an effort to leave that out since I retired.
Well, we can.
Boy, I picked a great time to retire. Did you see the market yesterday?
So here's what happens. I have to, because usually I try to look at the tax news, and
how'd that go?
Well, there was no tax news, but I have to give all the credit to the Gene M. Isley side, because what's interesting, okay? You saw Gene, the first thing, David, you know, and all our listeners, did you see the market? I look at the news headlines this morning, because I just knew it. I'm sorry to say. The news headlines, so I look on the internet, CNN, the first page on the news headlines. Is there one item about the stock market? None.
No.
I then look at Fox News. Is there one item about the stock market? No. I then look at the New York Times front page. Is there one item about the stock market? No. And this one wins the cake. Ready? Finally, I look at the Wall Street Journal today, the front page, and there's nothing about the stock
market. On the front page? Is that
right? On the front page. So, Gene M. Isley, you tell our listeners what should have been on a front page.
Oh, my gosh. It was all right. Now, first of all, Thursday, it was decimated. The markets were decimated. You know, big tech took it right on the chin. And yesterday, the momentum just turned on a dime. It set out before the futures were up, and it just soared from there. I couldn't take my eyes off the television all day. You know, and now that I'm home and retired, that's basically I have the stock market news on because I'm a stock market junkie. I have been my whole life, and I don't see that changing. So I was watching the news, and Charles Payne has a finance show around 2 o'clock on Fox Business, and I'm looking at everything that's going on. I just couldn't believe it. It's tickling 50,000, and then it drops back, and then it tickles it again, and then it just broke through. So, you know, those of you who've listened to us for some time, I remember when the Dow Jones went through 1,000, and that was ages ago. And now we're through 50,000. And people say, oh, I put my money in the stock market. I'm going to lose. I'm going to go broke. I'm going to lose everything. No, you're not going to go broke. You're not going to lose everything. If you put it all in one stock or sector, you've got a lot more volatility. That's why you diversify things. You spread them around. You don't have everything in tech. You don't have everything in any one sector. And, you know, yes, what's coming into play are some of the industrials. Utilities are doing better in an interest rate declining world. You know, consumer staples, you know, things that you use every day. Kimberly-Clark, you know, General Electric. You look at things like this. Not that I'm making recommendations to buy, sell, or hold anything. I do not. But the idea is that you've got to spread your investments around to take advantage of all markets. So, you know, we're seeing bonds starting to appreciate. The month of January, municipal bond sector gained 1%. That was incredible. Everybody was getting beaten up because of the interest rates not coming down for so long. In fact, they delayed bringing them down, which was ridiculous. But now that they're coming down, you're seeing bonds start to perk up because they've got some of the higher yielding maturities in the portfolios. So, you know, you're seeing the fixed income market start to pick up. You're seeing consumer staples start to pick up. These are things you need, not want. Consumer, you know, goods, consumer durables, things that are the staple of your household, of the industry, you know, things along those lines. So this is what we've seen lagging because everybody's eye is on big tech. Well, now they're starting to get their day in the sun.
So it's interesting, Gene. People will come in and someone will say, well, Mr. Thierman, you do wills, trust, powers of attorney. You do estate matters, nursing home matters. Gene M. Isley, the finance, you know, you start off on you're looking on the first page about Wall Street. And it's interesting in this respect. So an estate lawyer, you sit there, someone comes in, wants to talk about their family, their estate. and how they want assets to be distributed, who they want to be in charge, how they want to be cared for. Then they will tell you, you know, Mr. Thierman, how I accumulated my assets. Well, as a young estate lawyer, you know what you do? You do three things. You listen, and you learn.
Mm-hmm.
And someone will say, Mr. Thierman, I've been investing, and when the stock market gets volatile, I invest more.
Mm-hmm.
When it takes a dip, I invest more. And I've done this for 40 years, mm-hmm. Mr. Thierman. So you hear it once, and someone shows you the list of assets, which is significant. Then the next week comes in, and guess what someone says? Mr. Thierman, I'll tell you how I made my money. And they said, I invested in the stock market. I invested. And guess what? It happens again and again and again. And eventually, you learn.
Mm-hmm.
So as you say, Gene, you see the situation. It's not timing the market. It's your time in the market.
Absolutely.
So this is always heartbreaking. What's heartbreaking to me is once in a while on a news story, you'll hear there's an ink or a wealth disparity. There's a wealth disparity because the stock market appreciating is not helping out people without stocks, okay? And the answer is there's an education problem, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They'll say, well, there's only a certain segment of society buys stocks. The answer is shouldn't be that way.
That's right.
You can start small.
You don't have to start.
You can
with
buy
thousands.
A share of stock.
Yes.
For the same price as a large pizza.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
So the idea is pizza or the stock. And someone says, "Well, they needed that pizza to live." Well, you can have a little less pizza 1 week, and buy one share of stock. And the answer is not if you don't know that the market just hit 50,000 because you just watched all the news channels or the newspapers, and there was nothing about it. The people who know to invest or to know, like with bonds, or you can shop all around the country for CDs, you can buy municipal bonds, you can buy stocks, ETFs, different funds. The idea is they're not educating the basic public. The commercial that I always hear is the lottery.
Yeah.
We don't want to say anything specific. The New Jersey Lottery. Did I say that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the New Jersey Lottery, where do they put most of those machines? In inner cities.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the poorest segments, okay, because the cities aren't safe, sadly, a lot of people get out. Cities tend to be poor. Can't imagine why. You need to make them safe. There's lots of lottery machines. And the lottery machine should say, this is a terrible investment.
Yeah, it is.
The stock market, you have a chance of increasing your wealth.
Mm-hmm.
This should be like a warning with cigarettes.
Yep.
The state is going to take your money. They're going to use it for a good cause, so thank you, because you're not. There's not a chance of life.
Wasn't it supposed to go for elder care? And
I can't keep up, but the answer is, where are most of those lottery machines? Those lottery machines are preying on people that can least afford and need to retire, have retirement plans versus lottery machines. So on every lottery ticket should be like a cigarette warning.
Yeah, I agree.
You've just spent this money, and the chances of you ever getting anything are remote like lightning.
Mm-hmm.
You should have seen a financial advisor and not listened to our commercial, the state of New Jersey.
You know, it's funny you talk about lottery. When I was coming up and, you know, opening accounts and very young in my career, the lottery came about, and they were the worst clients to deal with because everybody gets their handout when you win a lottery. Oh,
right,
my long-lost cousin, my great aunt, my uncle, we're very good friends, la, la, la. There goes the lottery winnings after taxes. So the money never lasted. You couldn't put it in the markets. And if you did, it would be coming out. And then you're realizing short-term gains or short-term losses for people because money hadn't been in the market for a year and a day. So it's crazy. I mean, you know, I'll give them guidance, but it's not something I wanted to bring on board as a client.
By the way, how estate lawyers who can be cynical are, Mr. Thierman, are they going to put a warning on the lottery? Are they going to instead put a table where people can learn about investments
No.
in inner cities, lower economic? areas, less educated, maybe people with less educated degrees. No. So what did Mr. Thierman do years ago? Yeah. He bought stock in the lottery companies. Yeah.
The machine makers.
Yeah, the machine makers, the people that process the lottery. Yep. The idea is Mr. Thierman, they're going to skirt the lottery. It's taking money from people that least can afford to give the money. We'll cut back the lottery machines. Okay. Or we're going to expand the lottery machines because we've got all these people lining up to give us money. The answer is they're going to expand the lottery process. So what does Mr. Thierman do? He invests in the lottery process, not in the lottery ticket. Okay, so there's always a rationale. It's much like your internet bills, your Comcast or different bills.
Oh, boy.
Some people like those bills. I've had people who worked for Comcast, good company to work for, this, that, or whatever. But people will say, I can't believe my, and I'm sure it's either a Comcast or a Verizon bill. Actually, at the office, I used to use Verizon and Comcast is less. But they're expensive bills. So the answer is...
Comcast is, in my opinion, it's the bane of my existence. I won't even talk to the company. I give it to my husband. My poor husband, he deals with them because I can't. They're just... It's horrific. I can't deal with it.
Well, I've had clients that have worked for the different companies. So someone says, what do you do? I was like, well, Comcast, Verizon, everyone complains one way. You know what I do? I buy both the stocks, okay?
Yeah, well, I've owned them too. They, you know, the dividend on one is terrible, and it's actually down.
It is. I was just going to say,
yeah.
They're not having an easy
easy time,
I guess, because people aren't signing up like they used to.
Well, there are other options and we've had people to the house to try and give us some other options because
right.
I can't stand them. You know, basically, I go through three channels.
Yeah.
And in order to get those three channels, you have to subscribe to 10 others. So I
was going to say, your options are A or Z.
Exactly. And it's borderline, I don't know. I don't know how the FCC doesn't open a case of look into them because our bill for one of them is $6,000 a year. And it's insane.
Yeah. You know what's interesting, by the way?
Well, for two places,
yeah.
Not for one place.
Interesting situations. And I don't want to bring it up. Sure, I will. I haven't researched it. But I was at Acme last evening.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And
getting bread, eggs, and milk.
Bread, eggs, and milk.
For when the power fails.
No, I'm a guy. I bought like frozen fish fillets, okay, and a pizza. Okay, frozen pizza and frozen fish fillets and a Diet Coke. You go to the cashier, and I said, It's a man's gourmet diet.
So tell me, Angela's in Florida, and you're feeding yourself.
There's a Chicago deep dish pizza. There's the frozen fish patties to make a fish sandwich like McDonald's and a Diet Coke, okay?
Just,
a well-rounded meal.
I think I just drive to McDonald's.
Yes, and then by the exit, I don't want to name names, there's a machine called Coinstar, and this is a machine where you're supposed to put your coins in, and that converts it to like a money card. Remember how Commerce Bank used to have a coin machine?
Yeah.
Well, some of the supermarkets, they have coin machines. So you know what's interesting?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, I'm sitting there with a frozen pizza, fish fillets, and Diet Coke, and I'm looking at this coin machine, and I'm looking to see what percentage they take of your coins.
They charge you to...
They don't put a machine there to just say it's free.
Oh, my God.
You know, it's just like the pizza. I paid for the pizza. You put coins in, they take a cut, okay? So I'm looking, and there's no sign. And then this is what an estate tax lawyer does, okay? I have no coins to put in the machine, okay? But I'm just wondering what percentage. And then maybe you invest in Coinstar or whoever makes these machines. So I start touching the machine on the pad, like as if it says start here.
Right.
And I say, okay, coins, this, and that. And I had no coins, so I couldn't go further. But as you're starting so far... It still doesn't tell you what the percentages they take.
Wow.
So it's interesting. Maybe after you put the coins in, they tell you. And then they say, if you don't agree, we'll spit the coins back out. But at first, the answer is you're not knowing at all what the charge is on the coin machine, which is interesting. So, you know, my wife will say, how'd the supermarket, trip go? I said, well, I was at the frozen pizza aisle, the frozen fish, the Diet Coke.
No problem at any of that.
And then I sat there for 20 minutes trying to figure out, like, this is a little bit of a racket with the coin machine, okay? Because it should be informative. So with that said, it's much like estate law, Gene. The same idea. So it's interesting. California, this is the sales pitch. It always is. You know, the federal income tax was going to be temporary and only on the rich.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Only rich people pay federal income tax, Gene. Because the politicians promised. And it's only temporary. Yeah. And you voted for all these people. Okay. So California, it just repeats again. California is going to have a proposition that we're going to tax the billionaires, but just once, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Just once, because it's going to fix everything. We're going to spend the money. So what's interesting is when they say we're going to tax the billionaires, now the billionaires aren't stupid. That's how they got to be billionaires.
That's
and most
right.
of them came from nothing, okay?
A lot of them, yeah.
A lot of them came from nothing. I guess it's Larry Ellison, I always remember. Mm-hmm. I think he's Oracle. Mm-hmm. He's in the top five of billionaires.
Mm-hmm.
He grew up in a teenage unwed mother.
Yes, he did.
In a broken down apartment in New York.
Mm-hmm.
So he became a billionaire from below zero. So what happens is these individuals, by the way, where is he buying all the property, Larry Ellison? Right near Gene.
He bought
the Ritz-Carlton and Manalapan.
Old Ritz.
Yeah.
And
We won't buy the house. We'll buy the entire hotel. That's always a good idea. Later.
And there's a $235 million house on the market down there.
Yeah. So what will happen is, interesting enough, California, they're going to tax all the billionaires. But I always like the first sentence, and they forget the second sentence. They're going to tax all the billionaires, people that figured out, you know, what to do with their money. And then the person thinks, okay, and that's going to fix everything. But you missed something, the connection, the nexus. They're going to tax the billionaires. And where does the money go? To the politicians. That's right. The politicians are going to figure out what to do with other people's money. Don't you feel good?
Oh, boy.
Okay, so that's the running joke. The politicians going to fix the situation. And where does that come down to? There's always a tax path. So California, by the way, all the billionaires, where are they going? To
Texas
Florida and Texas.
Yeah.
Yes. So the idea is next, the latest program, and people start to forget, it's been about 30 years, maybe 40 years, is they were going to fix Social Security, okay? They have a great idea to fix Social Security. Well, you know what that is? They're going to tax it, but only the wealthy. Only the wealthy are going to be taxed on their Social Security and everything will be fixed. How's that working out? Well, here's how it works out. The wealthy, 30, 40 years ago, they figured only the wealthy, 25,000 and above. Okay? So actually, I'm thinking it's 40 years. Yes, 40 years. Only mm-hmm. the wealthy. $25,000 you're taxed. That was 40 years ago.
That's income of 25,000.
Right. And when you do your income, you have to add in half your Social Security. So mm-hmm. it's income of around $12,000 you're taxed,
mm-hmm.
okay, for most people. So once you hit about $12,000 of income plus half your Social Security, you are taxed. That was 40 years ago. Okay, 40 years ago figure, it's like chocolate chip cookies. Okay, it's not, that's what men think of.
40 years ago
40
was
years
chocolate
ago, how much were chocolate
chip cookies? How
does
this?
Here's why. How much were chocolate chip cookies 40 years ago?
I'm trying to follow right, your trail
they
here.
They changed by inflation, right?
Right.
Okay, so it's the inflationary times. So if chocolate chip cookies cost this much 40 years ago and they cost this much today, because that's what my diet consists of, chocolate chip cookies 40 years
pizza.
Ago, chocolate and pizza
diet
and fish,
soda.
Diet soda and fish cakes. So now what happens is this story's meandering,
I'd
as Gene
to
says.
I love to see your insides.
Yes. We are. you drink the Diet Pepsi with the Chicago deep dish pizza. Okay?
Yeah,
you shake
of,
it all
kind
around.
Kind of washes it out.
So what happens, the next thought is, so you see how the price of cookies, milk, bread has gone up and things have changed. So if 40 years ago they taxed the wealthy at $25,000 on their Social Security, that would change like cookies, bread, milk. You know, what's the figure today, 40 years later?
Uh-huh.
It's $25,000.
Yeah.
Doesn't adjust for inflation.
Nope.
No. So it's only the wealthy who make over $25,000. And as we said, that's half your Social Security added. And that's going to fix Social Security. So for 40 years, they've had a tax. And guess what? Social Security is going to have a 25 to 30% shortfall within a decade, okay? And guess who's going to fix it? the same people who have been running it.
Yeah.
That's right. Yep. The politicians have new ideas, and they're going to tell you, this time we'll get it right. Doesn't that make you feel good?
No.
So that's the answer. What should I do? Invest, invest, invest. Because if you're waiting for the politicians to figure out, bring your costs down, bring the cost of electricity, your property taxes, your income taxes down, the answer is you're going to wait a long, long time, which is the thrust and the meaning of it's your money. You've got to have it. It's your money. You've got to take care of yourself.
That's right.
You've got to. Invest. I always take look in the mirror. If times are tough, you put in an extra day of work.
Mm-hmm.
You save, you save, you save, because you can vote 1,000 times. And yes, it does help, but it'll never get you over the cliff. To get over the cliff, you've got to save, work, and invest. And you've got to do tax planning. It's never how much you make. It's how much you save and invest, because your ordinary income is subject to your Social Security tax, your ordinary income tax rates, your disability taxes, your unemployment taxes. There's so many items coming out of your paycheck, you'll never get ahead. The only way you'll get ahead is to invest and let that money grow and then have it come out at capital gains rates, which are favorable.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, again, long-term capital gains are taxed at the lowest percentage. And the idea being, again, it's based on your tax bracket overall, but typically lower. Dividends are taxed at a more favorable rate. So you want to be looking at opportunities. You know, when you're just getting started, take a look at buying into a share of stock and then put it into a dividend reinvestment plan. Have the company transfer it. You know, there's several companies that do these dividend reinvestment plans. The old acronym was DRIP, Dividend Reinvestment Plan, DRIP plans.
Well, I was going to ask you this. Okay, so DRIP plans were dividend reinvestment plans.
Right.
How about DRIP drop?
What's the drop part?
Oh, okay. That's something you do on the beach, okay, with your family. That's a drip drop castle.
Or it could be your diet soda when you're eating your pizza and your...
So back to DRIP, the dividend reinvestment.
That went nowhere, didn't it, David? Oh, Lord. It's all right. We've got about a minute and a half left before we do our bottom of the hour break, which means it's going to be terrible news, which means it's...
It won't be. I can tell you what it won't be.
What?
It won't be. There's a historic event. The Dow hits 50,000.
Yeah.
You know what'll be on the news? Won't be there.
Nope.
No. Because if you want to be educated, don't listen to that. It's a sad comment.
It's funny. I have an app on my phone. It's called Grok. And G-R-O-K. So I because I couldn't find any information on
right.
you know, deep dive into the
right.
into the what happened yesterday. So what I did, I went on Grok this morning. My husband says, you got to go on Grok and, you know, just ask it. Well, I had a lovely conversation with this very nice sounding woman. She asked me what I felt about the markets coming. What would you do? And we had a conversation. And here it's all AI.
And that worked.
And it worked.
Yeah.
But,
so
you know, you got the skinny on what's going on in the
markets. It's like tax news, Jeannie. People don't know. They don't know about inheritance taxes, estate taxes. What's a step up in basis?
Right.
You know, it's very, very heartbreaking how little financial news there is in general news. And there won't be any on this general news break we're taking. There'll be no financial or tax news.
It's going to be terrible. So time to get another cup of coffee or
tea. Or it'll be sensationalized and nonsensical.
And another donut or flip the eggs.
Or get the pizza, the Diet Coke, and the fish sandwiches.
And when we come back, we're going to go right to Connie calling in from Brigantine.
Because this program is pre-recorded, do not call the phone number.
Good morning and welcome to It's Your Money. I am David R. Thierman. I am a tax, estate, and nursing home attorney. Law offices on Route 9 in Summers Point, New Jersey, and part of the It's Your Money Hour.
And I am Jean Isley, formerly of Anchor Financial, Raymond James affiliate, and currently retired, which is good news. I've been so busy, I lose track of time. It's amazing. Just a little housekeeping. If you wanted to reach David during the week, you can do so. His law offices are on New Road in Summers Point. Excuse me. Tickly throat there this morning. It's from sliding in from Port Republic. Boy, that parkway was a whiteout. Anyway, you can reach David during the week for an appointment to review your documents or create your documents. You should have documents. Will, power of attorney, living will, trusts are another discussion, but you've got to have those three documents. You can reach him at 609-653-6003. And we're going to go to Connie calling from Brigantine. Good morning, Connie. Good morning, Connie.
Good morning.
You're on the air.
Yes, hi. Yes, I was waiting for a 1099 from the federal government, and they don't send them anymore.
Okay, so what will happen is you get a 1099 usually from different private employees. So a 1099, tell me what you were doing that you thought you were getting one.
I got one every year from the federal government.
But for what type of work, I'm saying? Or income?
This is everybody. They're not getting it.
Do you have to go online?
What kind of work you were doing.
Do you have to go online and get it? Or maybe you were...
Yes, it's an online, or you can dial an 888 number. But you don't get through.
Well, no, you're not getting through the IRS, that's for sure. That we
nobody's
know.
Nobody's getting through. No.
Well, no, that's typically. Yes, yes. Calling
people.
The IRS during tax season.
Oh, the 888 would be calling the government to get your 1099. Do you work for a contract company or the government itself?
No.
That's like an independent contractor.
You work?
No, not a contractor. No.
You work for the government.
No. My daughter-in-law, the same problem. You don't get through. I've been trying for 2 days.
Okay.
Holly, did Joe get a 1099?
I finally got through the 800 number, but then I had to push 7 because they didn't have any lines open.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
You'll go on the list.
Okay.
But I've been waiting for 2 days on the list.
Holly, your husband's a government worker, right?
We're both, government employees. So as far as... I'm a government contractor, so I do get my tax paperwork from my employer. And as far as that, we always got W-2s.
Well, that's
so
right. As an
our 1099s are really for our freelance work.
Yeah, for an independent company, you get a W-2. And a 1099 is usually, like, let's say I'm a painter and I'm being paid by different companies, you get a 1099. Okay, but thank you for the call.
Yeah, I just...
Sorry we don't have...
Did you leave
You know, it's so ridiculous. So they think they're saving money or what?
Did you leave your number for a callback?
That's not going to...
You press 7.
Yes, I haven't had anyone getting calls back.
Yes, and that took me to waiting for a callback.
Who does your tax work?
That's been a day and a half.
Connie, who does your tax work? Who's your accountant?
Oh, I have somebody do it.
Okay, just talk.
Well, call them, give them a call, and ask them what you should do.
Yeah. This is what you do. This is the answer.
Okay, thank you for the call, Connie, and then we're going to just give our listeners... Okay, so thank you for the call. So what will happen for our listeners out there? Your investment statements, okay, Gene? Your investment statements... They'll be coming in sort of towards the end of February, early March.
Yeah.
By the time the brokerage houses.
There's reasons for that. Companies have to report to the brokerages, and then the brokerages report to the client.
Have to compile and get it to you.
So it's not your broker that's delaying it. It's the people reporting to them that delays it sometimes.
So that's your investment reporting. Your W-2s will come from your employer.
Right.
And your 1099s. Don't come from the government. They actually come from your the person who paid you.
Mm-hmm.
And what the person who paid you does is, so your income is reported, Gene, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you're not an employee and I give you a check for shoveling my driveway for $10,000, okay?
Yeah.
So I give Jeannie a check. When I send you the 1099, I send the federal government and the state a copy.
Right.
So this way everyone knows. But the governments don't give you the 1099. Typically the person who paid you did. And they then send it also to the federal and the state so the government can match up the payments with your income. Do we have another caller?
I'm thinking she's thinking about a 1099-R for her annuity possibly as a federal employee.
Oh, that
could be. Could be. Could be like a federal investment payout. But that should still also come in the mail.
Right.
Because otherwise you wouldn't know how to report it.
Is that what it would be for you, Holly? As an... I'm sorry, somebody's interrupting you. that's what you would be waiting for, the 1099 from the annuity.
That's what I'm thinking. So I'm not a federal employee. I'm not too sure right. if she was a federal or a contractor or what that. But when I did look up the Office of Personal Management, the OPM for federal employees, that's the only thing I can find for like a 1099 tax form from a federal government
right.
as a worker. It would be for your annuity and retirement.
Do they give you a phone number to contact? No.
Good luck with a federal phone number.
I don't see anything, but there is a website.
Oh, go to the website.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll go to
They're
Catherine.
Waiting for your phone calls in their offices in Washington.
Yeah, sure.
No. Yeah. You call today. You'll get through. No, God bless them. That's not happening. By the way, Jeannie had said that, it's a cold weather day, that we should, really report live and in person. So Jeannie said, David, would you walk outside and do the second half of the show outside and let us know how cold it is? So, Jeannie, I'm a little chilly.
You're a little wacky.
Okay, that's the reporting from the outside. Back to inside.
Catherine has a question.
A little humor, Jean.
Very little. Good morning, Catherine.
Good morning. This is for David.
Go right ahead.
My daughter, who is an adult, was a friend of hers passed away in Pennsylvania.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
And her friend was over 18, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
And the executor died 5 years ago.
Okay.
And the lawyer no longer deals with the wills.
Right.
And so what happens in that case?
So let's take it slowly. So the person passes away in Pennsylvania, sadly. Did we find a will?
Yes, she has a copy of
it. But in the will, there's an executor who is no longer there, and there's not a successor in the will, correct?
Correct.
So what they do is they call it an administrator CTA, okay? They then look for the closest relative. You're right. So then they're supposed to find the closest relative, and since they're not named in the will, that person will typically have to be bonded to make sure they do what's right. So they have to do, there should be an estate lawyer would do a relative search, or hopefully maybe someone in the family knows who the closest relatives are.
Mm-hmm.
And that you're correct. Now, the closest relative might not want to do it, so someone else can apply to be the administrator. But you will have to be bonded, gather all the monies, pay all the bills, and distribute the net estate to the beneficiary. So it's not a great job. It's an honorable job, but it's thankless being an executor or administrator.
It's basically a glorified bookkeeping position, yeah.
But with everyone asking where's their money.
Yeah.
Yes. So the idea is, no. So you would see a lawyer who does estates in that area in Pennsylvania. We could always give you a name and a number. And you would find the
original will.
Find the original will. You'd find the closest relative, and they would have to be bonded. It's called an administrator, or if it's a female, an administratrix, CTA. Same in New Jersey, essentially, by the way. The only difference is Pennsylvania will have a death tax on essentially everyone. So there will also be a Pennsylvania inheritance tax. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, it's
do you know what percentage that is?
Oh, sure. It depends on who you're leaving the assets to. She didn't have a spouse or children. Children are four and a half percent. So if you leave a $10,000 CD to your children, Pennsylvania gets 4.5%. Your other relatives, the tax is typically between 11 to 15%. Because someone died young, Pennsylvania benefits. It's heartbreaking, I'm sorry to say. Pennsylvania has about the worst death taxes. They call it an inheritance tax in the United States. Sorry to say. But the worst part is the loss. But it's sad at the time of a loss. Yes, the will is out of date. We might not have the right person in charge. And then we have to pay a tax. So I'm very sorry to give you that news.
Well, so if you're not a relative, you're between 11 and 15.
No. Everyone's taxed in Pennsylvania. Children are taxed, brothers, sisters, everyone.
Wow.
Yeah. No one knows it. You haven't seen it on the news.
Right.
Yeah, well, here's it. Just to give you, this is my favorite sad situation.
Connie, by the way, David is a Pennsylvania, Florida, and New Jersey attorney.
My wife calls me Dr. Doom, but this is what drives me crazy. Ready? All the politicians get on the stage in downtown Philadelphia, outside Philadelphia City Hall. We're going to stop the gun violence, okay? No one's doing enough. It's the federal government and everyone else's fault, the mayor, the state politicians, the governor of Pennsylvania. They're all saying how it's everyone else's fault. And then real quick at the end, like a bad car ad, it says, but if you get shot and killed, guess what? We profit because Pennsylvania taxes everyone. We tax your children, your brothers, your sisters, your nieces, and your nephews. And it starts pretty much from dollar one. Heartbreaking. Pennsylvania has an inheritance tax. They don't talk about it. It's heartbreaking. Thank you for the call.
All right. Thanks, David.
You're so welcome.
Good luck with it, Catherine.
Yeah, right now.
We're here for you.
Yes.
We're here for you.
You know how many holiday parties I'm invited to?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, my wife, Dr. Doom, okay? Thank you again.
Okay, I'm hanging up then.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, she's had enough bad news
for
one
changing
snowy,
the channel.
Miserable,
let's do,
cold
can we
day.
Do our winter sing-along to cheer things up?
Let's go to David first, and then we'll sing.
Yeah, then we'll sing.
Good morning, David.
Good morning. One question for you. When you set up a trust and the money is transferred via the trust rather than inheritance, is that still subject to the estate tax or the death tax in New Jersey?
So what will happen is, it's a good question, Mr. Thierman. New Jersey has a death tax. They call it the inheritance tax, payable 8 months after death, because Pennsylvania is payable 9 months. New Jersey figures we'll get it a month earlier, eight
But Pennsylvania
months.
Gives you a discount if they, you act quickly.
Yeah, if you rush it to Pennsylvania, you get a discount. New Jersey has an inheritance tax 8 months, and it's the assets you own. If you have a will, those assets are counted. If you have a revocable trust, hey, the lawyer does a different document. Does the tax go away? And I'm sorry to say, no, the tax is exactly the same. The only way is if you had an irrevocable trust. But an irrevocable trust, you could not be in control of your money. You would have to put money out of your name into a trust which you don't control and then live 3 years, because there's a three-year look back when you set up an irrevocable trust to avoid New Jersey inheritance taxes. So, unfortunately, Pennsylvania has a one-year look-back. New Jersey has a three-year look-back. Easier to take the ferry over to Delaware and just become a Delaware resident the last year of your life, but none of us know. But yes, a trust, unfortunately, a revocable trust will not avoid the inheritance tax in Pennsylvania or New Jersey.
But the irrevocable trust will.
It will, but you can't be in charge of it. You're giving up control of an asset.
That's
you can
the,
put
the
a family
part,
member in
yeah.
charge, but that's the negative, right, Jean?
That's the negative, because if you name someone in the family, could they somehow come under undue influence from an in-law or another relative?
Well,
or if you need your money.
The thing is, I'm already in control of my brother's money.
Okay.
Because he's very ill. He's got dementia.
Oh,
I'm so sorry.
You know, down the line, I'm wondering what we can do to...
Okay.
Protect that money or
yeah so with your with tax. Your brother's money with dementia, the first is the health care we think about if he needs assisted living or a nursing home. So assets have to come out of his name. Once they're out of his name, there's a five-year countdown. If you make it 5 years before he goes into a care center, all those gifts and transfers are okay. If you make it 4 years, you're 1 year short. You have to pay out 1 year. So, yes, there should be a plan to gather assistance if he needs medical assistance. It's 5 years. And for the New Jersey inheritance tax, the general rule is 3 years. Is a quick synopsis on the radio.
So in our case, it sounds like it would be the right thing to do to set up the irrevocable trust.
Here's what happens. You have a lot of factors. I have a brother. He has dementia. Is he capable of setting up a trust? Should someone else set up a trust? Does he have a power of attorney where assets can be moved away from him that says you have the right to gift? So, yes, you should sit down with someone and review the situation. I can't tell you with all the moving parts because I don't know all your facts, but, yes, you should address your brother's situation once you're diagnosed. We always say it this way. When should I get started? Yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You get it.
So we've got all the power of attorney.
Well, I don't. No. Ready. You have a brother with dementia. A care center is $100,000 to $200,000, okay? You have an inheritance tax of typically 11% to siblings. You have a power of attorney. Does it have a gifting and tax and nursing home provision? Does it have a successor agent? Is it signed, witness, notarized? Is it an original? Which state is it? Everything's got to be reviewed. You have a critical situation, someone diagnosed. You need to grab all the documents, see any lawyer, okay, who does estate, tax, nursing home law. But we always say you should have done this yesterday. And I'm not a salesman. I don't care who you go to. But, yes, you have a care cost situation, custodial care, and tax situation. You should see someone. Okay.
I'll do that.
Okay. God bless. Thank you, David. Sorry about your situation.
Yeah, good luck with it, David. We're here for you.
We're here. So what happens, Gene, the reason I get a little imperative is everything's got to be crackerjack right.
Right.
You've been diagnosed with an illness. It only gets more horrific because you care about the person.
Sure.
You do not need any surprises. The taxes have got to be taken care of. Custodial care, the protection, the person, the well-being, the financial. And is it complicated? You bet it's complicated. Because I always say it this way. Everything simple, guess what? It's complicated.
When you're dealing with governmental regulations, be they state, local, federal, whatever the case may be, you've got to do everything exactly in line with the law. Or it can undo all the planning that you well-intentionally did.
Or it's a situation where you don't know your custodial care is going to be $100,000 to $200,000. You're going to have financial situations.
Yep.
So I always tell people, and I get these calls once in a while, well, my husband, my parents been diagnosed with dementia. How long, or Alzheimer's, or MS, or Parkinson's. How long ago was that? 9 or 10 years ago, Mr. Thierman.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to get in right away now. It's like, well, when the diagnosis happened, why didn't you call? Ready? Because he's been doing so well the last 9 or 10
years.
Oh, my
gosh.
Well, there's no known cure. And the person on the other side of the phone says, well, my loved one's going into a nursing home this week, so we want to see you this week, Mr. Thierman. And as a young lawyer, I used to be there till midnight. But at this point, I can't be there till midnight. So the moral to the story, for your sake, and so you don't have the stress of seeing a lawyer who has to stay late, and in your respect that you've got to change your schedule, when there's a bad diagnosis, hopefully it's not going to get worse. But you want to go, the sad comment, excuse me, in a state and nursing home law is, when do I want to address it? Yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You want to address it yesterday so you can focus on what counts is tomorrow. You can focus on your loved one's health.
Yeah.
We've both seen it.
You deal with it. But I lived through it with clients and families. And, you know, it's in trying to apply for Medicaid, the process is very long, painful, denial. It's hard.
Well, they don't even know they're applying for Medicaid. They call me. You know what they say, Gene?
What?
My Medicare didn't cover the bill.
No, and it won't.
My $15,000 assisted living or nursing home, the Medicare didn't cover.
No. Nope.
And Mr. Thierman, my supplemental won't cover.
Yeah.
I need to come in right away. I want you to sue Medicare and the supplemental insurance.
Oh, good luck with that.
You know what happens? Happens all the time. So they don't even know, people, that you get Parkinson's, MS, dementia, Parkinson's.
Alzheimer's.
You're on your own.
Yeah.
So the answer is this. They don't know there's an inheritance tax, Gene. People don't know all the income taxes. And why is that? Watch the news. You'll learn nothing.
Right.
Other than lottery machines.
Yeah, exactly.
Heartbreaking. There should be So don't watch the Olympics. Don't watch the football game. You should be watching stock market and tax news this weekend.
But you can't find any reporting on stock market.
Yeah, there is none, by the way.
Or tax news.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
And by the way, the Super Bowl, they'll have a halftime show. And you know how much tax and financial news is on the halftime show?
None.
Yeah, I thought Jean M. Isley, now that she's retired, she was going to do the halftime show.
Yeah,
she
sure.
comes out, okay, and there's a giant, you know, like a giant screen.
With dollar bills all
dollar
over
bills, and she
dancing,
shows you
dancing
how different investments have done. The dollar bills are dancing and singing, the coins. It would be the time of our life. Jean M. Isley, the halftime show. Here it is, and it's called the halftime show of Jean M. Isley. Ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. And then at the end, as she's showing the dollars and coins dancing and having a good time, the evil, like, the guy in the
evil
dark suit,
man.
The government comes and takes them away. Takes them all away, and that sort of ends.
And that's the end of it.
That's the end of the halftime show. So you don't need now to watch any of this stuff because you just saw the Jean M. Isley 2026 halftime show.
You can't make this stuff
Yeah, I
up.
Had a Diet Coke this morning.
Can yeah,
you
I can tell?
Tell.
Yeah. No, and you know.
Plus, I don't want to go outside in the cold weather, Jean.
$7 million for a 30-second spot in tomorrow's game. There's one commercial that is made 100% by AI. No humans were a part of the creation of it. It's amazing what's going on in this world. Just amazing. Have you seen the Budweiser ad?
I have to be honest. So during the week, Gene?
They started playing it, I think, 2 weeks
ago.
Yeah, it's so heartwarming, isn't it? Holly, you liked it?
I only saw, like, the teaser for it.
Right.
I didn't see it actually. But it's always nice to see the Clydesdales come back.
Oh, I love the Clydesdales.
I thought this year the same idea. I thought they were going to have, like, the Budweiser Clydesdale. It's a bunch of estate lawyers, like,
joggling
through the snow.
Getting horsewhipped.
Yeah, just a thought, okay?
That's a good thought.
Yeah, so what happens? Have I seen any of this? The answer is no, because between us, I'm in the office. Everyone's calling. There's an emergency. And this lady said, hey, there's a will with the wrong people. Guess what? Mm-hmm. All the time.
Mm-hmm.
How often do people have a will and it's so old the wrong people are in there, or it's not that old but you haven't looked at it and you forgot who was in there? And the answer is more often than not, much like beneficiaries on accounts. Who's my beneficiary on my financial account? Don't remember.
Don't remember. And it happens more often with life insurance policies and annuities, because those things you just fold up and stick in a drawer somewhere once you've bought them and you never revisit them. Well, annuities should be reviewed every year. Take a look at what the opportunities are, because the insurance industry has morphed over the years into a much more user-friendly world, and annuities are dealt with through insurance companies. So many annuities have some new features added that you can take advantage of if you can't get, let's say, long-term care on your own. You don't qualify. There's an annuity company that will, for a rider fee, write long-term care coverage capabilities for you. So, you know, things that you think, oh, well, that'll just pay off when I die. Well, I'm dealing with this situation right now. I just referred it to the office. I got a phone call on Tuesday. Someone died. They're named as a beneficiary in an annuity, this particular individual. What do I do? I'm going to pay tax on it. So I had referred them to the office and let Mary Gilbert and Leanne Gray deal with it. But these things happen all the time. So you've got to know what you're doing, what you have, how it works, what your options are with the investment, because different things present different opportunities.
You know, it's interesting, Jean. When I was a young estate lawyer, I would ask, you know, I understand who should be the beneficiary of your will.
Right.
And then I tell the people, you should. The lawyer's not going to go to your bank or brokerage house. You should and really must check who your beneficiaries are on your accounts, because that overpowers the will.
Absolutely.
And when I would ask, you know, who are the beneficiaries of your accounts? They would say, I don't remember. And I thought, oh, that's the name of the beneficiary. I don't remember.
No.
No.
You didn't think that.
No, it's just a little joke at the end of the hour.
Terrible little jokes.
there's not that many annuity jokes, okay? Because someone's thinking it wasn't a good joke, okay? It's not like someone else told a better annuity joke. I tried. We want to thank you for listening. Gene M. Isley has my telephone number.
You can reach him during the week at 609-653-6003. David, are you going to stay here? Or are you going
to Florida? This week, Gene, because it's balmy.
And you're snowed in. You can't get out.
Yeah, well, you know what's nice is...
What?
It was sunny all week, so actually in the office, it was, you know, you could look out the window. And quite frankly, most of the clients came in, were very grateful and thankful. But the situation is that at least it was sunny, but it's really been a cold. You got to watch yourself, and you have to watch yourself from slipping on ice.
Well, and it's going to be a very bad weekend, yeah. So it's a great time. Get your documents out. Do not write on your documents. Get sticky pads and... put a sticky by the paragraph you want to address.
And it's so cold, we turned on the heat in the office this week, Gene.
You put another log on the fire. Final minute of the hour. Again, David's Law Offices in Summers Point, 609-653-6003. And happy birthday to Mary Gilbert today and her son tomorrow. And if you want to contact them for some guidance, the office at Anchor Financial, 609-454-8930. They're dynamic ladies. It's a wonderful team. Take care, everybody. Please make sure your animals have food and access to warmth. And if you can get them out of the cold, please do. It's going to be bitter, especially tonight. Check on your loved ones. Check on your neighbors. Take care of yourself. Be safe. And we'll see you back here next weekend for more of It's Your Money.